Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, what a joyful emotion that this preacher had for the people that he ministered to. It brought joy to his heart as he remembered them and prayed for them. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. He was a praying preacher. He prayed for the people that he ministered to. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, there is a wondrous, glorious bond that brings us together as believers, and it's in the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to us, and how we ought to thank God for that fellowship. And then he states in verse 6 that if you're a partaker of this gospel, and you have this fellowship with God and with one another, you can be confident that God, the work that God began, He will see it through. This is one of the greatest verses on preservation and perseverance of the saints. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. If He has begun a work in you, and you are His workmanship, you are guaranteed to spend all eternity with the very one who started that work in you, God Almighty. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Paul didn't stop praying for them or thinking about them, even though he was in bonds, even though he was in prison. Verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You know, this is very similar to the prayer that he prayed for the Thessalonians. Very similar to the prayer that he prayed for the Colossians. This was something that Paul desired for those that he ministered to, that they would grow, that they would learn, that they would abide in Christ and walk in Him and grow in grace. That ye may approve things that are excellent. What a tremendous goal to have this year. To approve everything that's excellent, that is God-honoring, that lines up with the Holy Scriptures. All that we would have that kind of discernment and desire, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, I want to take the idea of Paul's heart and pray. I want us to pray in 2022 along these lines. This will be my prayer for you as your pastor. And it ought to be our prayer for one another, for those that we love, those that we concern ourselves with. It's interesting, at the end of every year, there's a lot of lists that people make. You know, a lot of resolutions and different things like that. And I'm glad that people reflect, that they stop and think, and that they resolve to do better. But I want to give you a list today of what I'm going to pray on your behalf and for me. Things that we need to pray about. First and foremost, my first request, my prayer request, is that all of us have a greater vision of who God is. That we may truly recognize on a day-to-day basis God's greatness, His power, His holiness, His love, His sovereign rule in our lives, and His authority. God, if we view Him in the proper light, if we see Him high and lifted up, in all of His majesty, in all of His glory, we ought to acknowledge that we belong to Him and we are responsible to obey Him. He is our final authority. That's how we need to see God. You know, David in 1 Chronicles 29 said that there were some things that belonged only to God. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine." All of it belongs to God. He is the sovereign Creator. He is the ruler over all. And we need to acknowledge that in our lives on a day-to-day basis. "Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all." Daniel called Him the Most High God, meaning you can't get any higher in authority. He is the Most High. And He, as the Most High, He deserves our reverence, our obedience, our fidelity, our faithfulness, if we see Him as He really is. "Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all, and in Thine hand is power and might, and in Thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." And you know how He ends His prayer? "Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name." When you see God as He really is, it'll move you to be thankful and to praise His name. Now, in order to do this, you have to daily think upon God. What He wants in your life. What He wants out of you that day. We have to view Him properly. And I fear that in our modern world, people don't even give the slightest thought to who God is, what He's written in His Word, and how we are to respond to Him. If they did, if people would just stop and think, God is almighty. And we're responsible to Him. I believe it would sober them up. "Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory." How glorious is that promise in verse 25, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." So shall it be. Ask God for a clearer vision of who He is and what He wants in your life. When you line up under His authority, you will walk in His ways, you'll abide in Christ, the commandments of God will not be grievous. If you see Him as your Redeemer, your owner, and your Sovereign, you'll be able to say with Paul the Apostle, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" Secondly, if we're going to fulfill the first request, we have to pray that all of us have a greater hunger and thirst for fellowship with God and the knowledge of His Word. These are simple things. Start the year out right. Get in the Word of God. For me, it's BBB, Bible before breakfast. I'm going to read the Word every day by the grace of God before I eat anything. I want to learn the habit of esteeming the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. I want to obey what the principle that Jesus laid out: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. May that be my bread. May that be what I go to for sustenance, for strength, for empowerment, for direction each and every day. If you're going to see God aright, you're going to see Him through the Word that He has inspired for us. Don't take this lightly. I read a psalm and a proverb every day to start the year. Monday through Saturday, I read 5 pages of the Old Testament, a psalm, a proverb, and 2 chapters of the New Testament. Then on Sunday, because I'm really studying more for my sermon and going over what I've studied the week, I only do a psalm and a proverb. But it was so fascinating to me that of all days, today was Proverbs 2. I want you to turn there. I want you to see how the wise man instructed his son regarding the Word of God. He said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." There are key words here: receive and hide, incline and apply. Then he says in verse 3, this is some action on our part. "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." You are coming to the Word of God, ready to hear it, ready to believe it, ready to obey it, ready to apply it, and you're crying out to God, "Lord, increase my knowledge of Your Word. Increase my desire for the Word. Give me a greater understanding of Your Word." "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures." Now, what if I told you, Aaron, that I knew for sure out in the field that you mow, that I can guarantee you that there is $10 million out there? What would you do if I could guarantee it? Man, you'd go out there with everything you had, digging it up, searching it up. Now, $10 million, granted, that's a pretty good chunk of change. But I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is much more valuable than millions of dollars. And he's saying here, this is the way we ought to make application, in such a way that we are searching the Word of God for treasures. Like we would go out and seek for silver. A valuable, precious metal. And yet, I fear that most of us, when we come to the Word of God, we don't search it like we're going to find. When you opened the Bible today, did you say, "Well, I wonder what I'm going to learn today. I wonder what treasure I'm going to find in the Word of God that's going to encourage me, empower me, instruct me." I love the old, there was an old missionary to India, C.T. Studd. I read his biography when I was first saved, and I remember he was at a missionary conference, and all the other missionaries were fast asleep. C.T. Studd was in the corner of a tent reading by candlelight at about 4 in the morning. One of the guys got up and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I had to get up and search the Word of God to see if there were any commandments I'm missing." I thought, wow. There is a guy that had a design. Search him for the treasures of God's Word. Look what it says in verse 5. If we'll do this, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. These are promises that will be answered if you'll search the Word with a heart that desires to incline, to hear, to apply. So I encourage you to get in the Word of God this year. Make it part of your daily diet. I'm just going to tell you something. This is the most valuable possession you have. There is nothing that even compares to the treasures that are bound up in this Word. And if you neglect it, you are neglecting it to your own detriment. Get in the Word. Don't just dust it off on Sunday and bring it to church. Make it part of every day. Thirdly, my third request is that each of us would pursue a life of pleasing God, of holiness, and of growth in grace. I've always loved the verse in Psalm 19. I always say it was Louise Pemberton's favorite verse. And I think it's such a powerful principle. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of mine heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Wow. May the motives and the thoughts and the words that I speak be acceptable in the eyes of God. Paul said in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God as we walk in His ways. Desire to be holy as He is holy. And then I pray that our church body as a whole would be unified in doctrine, in practice, and in purpose. That every one of us would be more consistent, more faithful. That we would desire to not only receive a blessing by being in the house of God, but to also be a blessing. That we would all have a greater burden as a church for the souls of men. I mean, read Romans chapter 9, the first three verses, and chapter 10 and verse 1, and see the burden that Paul had for his Jewish countrymen. I pray that as a church, we would be zealous, unified in purpose, to fulfill the Great Commission in 2022. That we will endeavor to preach the gospel to every creature, that God will save sinners, and that He will add them to this church through scriptural Baptist baptism, and that we would then begin the process of teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. This is our purpose as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to be unified. I pray that we'll have a greater zeal as a church to be unified in purpose, unified in the body. I thank God that we don't have cliques in our church. We don't have this group against that group. Because I tell you, God doesn't bless that. We need to be focused. We need to keep our eyes on the prize, pressed toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The fifth prayer request is that each of us would experience the joy of leading others to Jesus Christ. Pray that this may be the year that you see your children, your loved ones, your grandchildren, your friends, your co-workers come to know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. Wouldn't that be glorious? I tell you, there's nothing greater than seeing somebody saved. In fact, in Luke chapter 16, the angels in heaven rejoice when one of the sheep are fetched by Christ and brought back into the fold, into the family of God. There's praise, there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, what a joy it would be if we'd see more folks saved this year. It cheers my heart. It blesses my soul. And I tell you, that's one reason why you need to be under the sound of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then another prayer request is that each of our families would grow closer and stronger in our homes by following biblical admonitions. I'm going to tell you something. The reason why families and why America is out of sorts, because they're not doing things God's way. They've got everything upended. They want to say that men are women and women are men, and they can... Listen, men can't have babies. Men can't get pregnant. I don't care how many times somebody says that. It's ludicrous. It's impossible. Listen to what the Bible says, and this is how we ought to govern our families. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's a recipe for success right there. And then he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. That is a biblical principle. Submission. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Husbands, do your duty. Your wife and children are more important than your toys and your friends and what you think you want to do. There's no. Get it straight. You're the head of your home. Live right, do right, be a man. Even more, be a man of God. By standing for truth and saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You love your wife, and she won't find it hard to submit to your leadership. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Did you hear that, Faith? Did you hear that, Gavin? Did you hear that? I just had a brain freeze there. Is it Elijah or what's your son's name? Huh? Eli. And why can't I remember their names? Eli and Abby. Abby, look at me right here. Here's the verse for you, Abby. Here's the verse for you, Faith. Gavin. Verse for you, boy. Adeline. Get it straight. Children, obey your parents in all things. Look, oh, there's Elena. She is zoned in right now. This is coming right to you, girl. Obey your parents. And do it cheerfully. Your mom and your dad are there to help you, to instruct you, to empower you to do right. Now, I'll tell you, I had some good kids. I'm grateful for that. But every once in a while, they'd get sideways. And they wouldn't obey. And now, here's the hard part. When your kids can start memorizing these verses and they find the one over in Ephesians where it says about the dad. Let me get it just perfect. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the trouble you got when your kids start developing a hunger for the Word of God and they start memorizing it and you're not doing right and they say, Dad, yeah, how about a little bit of Ephesians chapter 6, Josh? Huh? But I'm here to tell you, you follow these simple rules that are laid out in the Word of God, your home will be a better place. This is one of the problems in the United States of America and around the world. People are trying to dismantle the family rather than build it up and pray for strength and cohesion. And all of us living under the authority of God's Word in our homes. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Now, I'm going to tell you something, parents. Get a hold of this. Don't lose it. I've said this. I remember when I came here to Mount Pleasant in October of 1993. We joined this church. God added us to this church October 17th, 1993. One of the first things that I asked you as a church is for each of you to remember that my kids, their little eyes are watching you. Well, I'll tell you what, that ought to be on our mind every day. How am I, what kind of example am I setting for my children? And what kind of example am I setting for the children and grandchildren that are in our church? Little eyes are watching you. You and I have a responsibility to do what's right. I'm praying that this year God will protect our children from the evils of our society, from violence and abuse and peer pressure and drugs and alcohol. Those things are real. I tell you, the stuff that is going on in schools and on social media, nothing like, I didn't face anything like kids are facing today. Parents, you got to protect them. You got to do it with the Word of God. We need to pray. Psalms 144:7, David said, "Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouths speak vanity and their right hand is a hand of falsehood." Let's pray that God would be pleased to appoint leaders who fear Him, who will guide in the way that is right and the way that is true. Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Tell you what, when you reject God as a nation, when Romans 1 is in effect, God puts those in authority as judgment. Let's pray that God will change that in our nation. Pray that there'd be a genuine desire in all of us to obey and honor God in all that we do. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." These are prayers that come out of Paul's prayer for the Colossians. I pray that God will give you a measure of health. Or if you get sick or you get the virus or you get pneumonia or you get bronchitis, or did I already say bronchitis? A host of whatever it may be, that God will give you the grace to deal with it. And that the Lord would heal you up. I'm praying that for you. Boy, our sick list has grown over the past month. And in our school, Ross Academy, we spend some time at the breakfast table praying for folks that are sick, that God will heal them. And then I have another prayer. And it's the one I'm going to end on. I'm praying that you and I are ready and expecting and longing for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The last words of Christ recorded in Revelation, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." You know what John's response was? "Even so come, Lord Jesus." He was in a frame of mind. He was ready for the coming of the Lord. Are you ready? Are you serving? Are you abiding? And I pray that what a new year does for me is there's a real desire in my heart to do better, to be better for the glory of God. May God work in us. And if you're not saved, certainly my prayer is that this would be the day of salvation. That you come to an end of yourself and you see that the only hope is through Jesus Christ, His death for you, His burial, and His resurrection. Let's all stand.
Page number 19.